I'm ready. What a joy it is to be with you all this morning and to be opening our heart up to Father and receiving what He is doing in us and through us and among us. What an exciting time. So, Father, we open our heart up to you afresh and anew. And we say, Father, we give you our heart. And our heart's desire is to know your heart and flow with your heart. And what an exciting adventure to discover who you are and who you have made us to be and to cooperate with that, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And we ask you by the Spirit to speak to our spirits today, our hearts, and tell us what we need to know for our next step forward in you. And we thank you in advance that you're doing that because we know that's your will. And we bless your name. Amen. So as you see, what I want to share with you today, I've entitled The Kingdom Flow. And I've used a picture that has been painted by Jennifer Page. And she titled it The Glory Wave. And don't all of us want to flow in the glory way as a wave of life? In the glory wave as a way of life. And our prophets are telling us that there is a big glory wave coming, a tsunami, if you please. And surfers know, I don't know, I wish I were a surfer. Would somebody turn the lights back in the back off a little bit so that the overhead will show up a little better. In the middle of this wave, you see, if we can see it clearly, is a cross. And in order to stay in the glory wave, we must be in the place of the cross. It's to be the reverse. Instead of being off back there, it's to be off up here. So that as we stay in His presence, then the glory wave we can ride because we're rightly positioned in Him. And we won't wipe out. We won't lose our balance. So that when darkness comes, it's always disconcerting, isn't it? It's always sad and it's always painful. But Isaiah 60 tells us that when darkness covers our earth, those of us that will stay in the center of the cross, in the glory wave, our light will penetrate the darkness and become even lighter. So when darkness is there, it is sad. But when the lightness flows, it's even brighter. So that's my challenge for me personally, is I want to stay positioned in the kingdom flow so that I do not wipe out, so that the prophecy that Chuck Pierce, that this picture shows, he says that the window of God has been opened now for us to recover. It is to be a year to bridge the gap between the past and the future so that we go in recovery to wholeness. And as you see the picture on the left, leaving the barren past behind and go to a green, healthy future. And he has a picture of a swinging bridge and under it 5773, which is the Jewish number of the year we're in. We call it 2013, almost. And the Jewish calendar says 5773. So that the Campbells represent endurance. That's how we want to position ourselves and break the American mentality of fast and quick is better. God says, I want to develop endurance in you, so that you stay in the center of the glory wave and you don't wipe out, but you stand and your light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And I know that is your heart or you wouldn't be here today. So Jesus says, I am that water that you are thirsty for. In Revelation 21:6, he said, "It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I myself will give water without price from the fountain springs of the water of life." So as this picture shows, Jesus is our water. Yes. From Him, as we stay in His presence, as we depend on Him, the water of life flows from the throne room into our spirit, through our soul, healing our spirit, our soul, and our body, and releasing life, not only to us, but everyone around us. It splashes on them and makes them hungry. God said, "I want to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth." And 2,000 years ago plus, He did that in a king-size bed. Not the king-size bed that we would think about, of most luxurious, but as we have on our Lord's table over here, just a trough. He came in the lowliest form, in the lowliest place, so that He could reach to the depths of low and take us up. In that king-size bed, He said, "I'm here to connect the kingdom of heaven and allow the kingdom of God to come on earth." And in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace." Now that was said hundreds of years before He came in flesh from the foundation of eternity and came to be flesh like us. Isn't it amazing? He chose the form of us, flesh, forever. What an awesome Savior. Micah 5:2 says, "Father of eternity, Prince, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." In Bethlehem, He was born. That wasn't where his parents were living, but this was foretold in the 18th century B.C. by Micah. And very few had ears to hear or eyes to see that which was unusual and unpredictable, except for those that had eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray that we be the ones that see. Amen. We be the ones that hear. Yes. And we don't miss the goodness of God. Yes. We don't miss one iota of what He's doing. Because He was born in the lowliest place, He died the worst of all deaths. And it was there on the cross that He joined heaven and earth. And it's there on the cross that He said, "Life on your own can be over." In the Old Testament, when they read what they were supposed to be and do, they had to try, or they did try, by their own effort to perform it. He said, "That's over. I have become flesh, and I am here to redeem everything that you've lost and to bring you to wholeness." You can't do it on your own. Have you ever tried to do on your own what He said for you to do? I have tried. Didn't work, though. I thought it did for a while, but it didn't. Because it takes a supernatural flow of the water of living life to flow through us. He said, "I never said you could. I am the only one that can." And so in Matthew 28:18, he says, "Now that I faced every demon in hell and on the earth and every pain you've ever experienced, been exposed to, every sorrow, every wound, everything, I became it on the cross. I became it. I became it. Now I have complete victory over it." And on the third day, he arose, and Father said, "Sit down. Good job. Good job. You did it. And all authority has been given to me by my Father in heaven on earth." Matthew 28:18. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Good news.
Sure enough.
And so he says in Hebrews 1:8, "But as to the Son," he says to him, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, to the ages of all ages. And the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness, of justice and straightforwardness." Now, the picture on the right shows a lion with his voice sounding into this world of darkness, bringing the truth, bringing justice, bringing righteousness. And when you do that under the power of the Spirit, you are using that scepter that is behind the line, and you are piercing the darkness. Isn't that good news?
Man.
That is wonderful news. Now, this picture on the right shows Jesus knocking on the door of our heart. And you know, Revelation 3:20 talks about he knocks on the door of our hearts. But you notice the picture on the right is a picture of you and I with our heart there. And where is the latch of that heart?
Inside.
Only you can open it. And he says, "I'm knocking on the door of your heart, not only to come in for intimate fellowship, because that's for which I designed you and for which I longed. I delighted to cover your sins with my blood and to take you to heaven. But what I really came for is to have intimate relationship with you now and for all eternity." So he says in Ephesians... Well, I've got my... they're just a little bit low. Let's see. What is that? That is Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake from the dead, and Christ will give you light." God is calling forth for all of us to awake from the woundedness, the deadness that we've turned from Him, and let Him give us light. Let Him bring the healing to the places that need to be healed. And you may say, "But you don't know me. You don't know how much I goof up." No, I don't, but I know how much I do. And so I like this picture of Jesus, you know, when the disciples were in the boat and a storm came and they thought they were going to be killed by the storm, and Jesus came walking to them on the waves, on the water. And Peter, as I've said, he's impulsive, and I identify with him. He said, I imagine he thought, "Man, that's very cool. Jesus is doing that. I want to do it." That would be something I would think. And Jesus said, "Well, come on." And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water too. But isn't it easy to get our eyes off of him and to look around at other people and other things and other circumstances and stop looking through to the invisible and life? That takes endurance. It takes practice. It takes learning it to be a way of life. So that if you think, "You're describing a life I could never do," who told you that? As James said before, a little god called the enemy. Whatever he has called you to do, he will do it through you. As you keep your eyes on him, looking to the invisible. Psalms 37:24 says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hands in support and uphold him." Then Proverbs 24:16 says, "For the righteous man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked are overthrown by calamity." It hurts when calamity comes. But as we put our eyes on Him, we rise again to walk in new strength because He's it. Because He's it. And that is good news. Now, I've been sharing with you in the last 3 months using the tripartite being to try to describe the way we walk with Him, the way we stay in the center of the wave and not be, not have a wipeout and not fall no more than necessary. And when we do fall, to know how to let Him use it for good. And so the tripartite being on the right shows how most of us lived our life with the soul and the body calling the shots, because that's better than not living. And there is actually a default system in our soul and our spirit that when we don't know how to trust God and calamity tends to overwhelm us, then a default switch goes on and the body and soul take over. And so this was the way I lived for much of the 30 years, 20 after I became a Christian. I didn't know that I couldn't live this Christian life. I thought I was to do the best I could. And it took me a long time. That just shows how strong-willed I am to realize that I can't do this. I've got to have something else. So the tripartite being on the right is called survival, and that's okay. But God is moving us to the place of healing, recovery, wholeness, that we're to learn to thrive, not simply survive. It's a transformational walk. And as I explained about 3 months ago, joy is the place that we're to live. Joy, as you were talking about, Gary, your friends was asked what good thing ever happened in his days of evil, and he couldn't think of a thing. Joy is the place we live in the presence of God when we are aware of His goodness, His greatness. Maybe you look up in the stars at night and you say, "Oh, my God is an awesome God." That's what it takes for me to begin to let the details of life that would tend to overwhelm me say, "No, my God's in control. I can trust Him and I shall." So that place of joy is a place of quiet, settled security where we're submitted to our God that we know does nothing except good things. And He's a good God and He loves us and He wants to pour His heart out on us. And that is a place, even in the middle of suffering and pain, it's a place of well-being, of security, knowing our God. And so 3 months ago, I centered on feelings because I'm a very feeling person. And feelings can easily, if we don't know better, become our master. But feelings are good servants, but they're horrible masters. When you feel something, you can say, "That's simply what I feel. Jesus, I invite you into that feeling because you're not limited by time and space the way I am. I ask you to go to the root of that feeling, and what lie did I believe that caused this horrible feeling? But in the meantime, I will serve you as you work in me." So, feelings, when they become our master, that really is the root of addiction. We are following a master other than the Lord God. We're letting our feelings control us. And God says, "I want to be your God. I want to control you." Last month, I talked about the mind. And as Romans 12:2 says, that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we talked about that in depth. Mind and feelings are interwoven. Almost always what you think about triggers a feeling. Or a feeling has come because some thought has there. So the thoughts and feelings have to be untangled and separated. And next month I'll go into more detail, but this month I want to just approach the will. The will is basically the protector. The will, in my way of describing it, stands between the mind and the emotions. And when the will is very active and the emotions are going crazy and the mind's going crazy, the will says, I've got to keep the mind from knowing what the feelings are feeling, because she's going to go berserk if she feels all these feelings. So it's kind of like the will is in the guard shack, protecting, trying to get peace here. But we know that God wants to bring redemption to our soul and let the soul submit to the spirit. And one way the soul submits to the spirit is by our mind being renewed, our feelings being healed, and our will saying, God, I choose your will, not mine. And I will put it in your hands and let you bring healing and security and freedom there for us to thrive in a safe place with you. I would like to describe it another way. I'm into diagrams, and when I saw this diagram, I thought, yes, that's describing the same thing in a different way. You know, the real you, where your heart is many times it's described your inner being, and I could give you many scriptures. It's in the belly, this area, the belly, the innermost parts, the inner springs. That's where the heart is. That's where the soul is. And we are to be connected there by Jesus, the river of living water, as this picture shows. But also, we've got a strong connection between the inner belly and our brain in the body. It's like kind of two control centers. And when the there's inner chaos, it shoots a message up to the brain, hey, you better start defaulting and cutting some stuff off. It's going to get weird here. And so God says in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that when I'm walking in his presence, no matter what your degree of maturity, when you're walking in his presence, you're in righteousness, because you're in him and you're trusting him, and he's covering everything that's not done yet. And then he will release peace and joy. Peace is the word for it is shalom. What does that mean? No inner conflict. You've embraced him, his control, so peace and joy rule. John 15:11 says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full, that you can stay in my presence, have that settled place of quiet and of security. Now, in doing that, I want to just end this season that we're celebrating Jesus' birth. He wants to birth something new in you. Over 2,000 years ago, he birthed his very life into this earth. And he wants to birth in us and through us his plan before the foundation of the world. Now, you look around here and you see banners. When the church was first started some 17 years ago, Craig said, we are to have the character of God on these banners, and he told us which ones we were to do, and we did it. I think it'd be a good idea to put another banner. Jesus the Forgiver.
Amen.
Have you ever tried to forgive? There's another way. Jesus, this picture on the cross, he died the worst death and he went through the worst circumstances of mockery, betrayal, abuse of every kind. And they put a mock title over him, the King of the Jews. Well, he was. But I would like to put a title over him, the Forgiver. The Forgiver. What did he say in Luke 23:34? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Everyone that walks in darkness, by the most part, there's probably exceptions, doesn't realize what they're doing. They don't realize they are in a self-destructive mode. They are literally destroying themselves and throwing poison all over everybody around them. By and large, they don't realize that. Jesus looked at him and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, has that always been your attitude towards someone that did you wrong? Oh, it hasn't mine, and I'm so sorry to say that, but I want it to be. I want to live the supernatural life, letting Christ the Forgiver flowing through me as a way of life. And to have His heart that says, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. They are deceived. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus said, come to me. I love this picture of him coming out of the world with light and opening his arms and saying in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then John 20:23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. That's heavy, isn't it? If I'm willing to forgive your sins, he says they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're retained. Jesus says, come to me. I'll teach you how to do it. I'll not only teach you how to do it, I'll be it in and through you. I love this picture. Have no idea who did it, but of somebody taking the sides of their chest, their front, and pulling it open to show us what's on the inside. What's on the inside? The kingdom of God, if you're a child of God.
Hallelujah.
The kingdom of God is on the inside of you if you are a child of God. The kingdom there, the rainbow, that doesn't show up real clear. There's hope. And he says, as you're walking in my presence, the water of life will flow through you, feeding you, leading you, healing you, blessing you, and splashing out all on everyone else around you that's thirsty so they'll know where to come and drink. Now, back to this diagram of the two control centers. In our inner belly, where the real you lives, where the kingdom of God is, where it can be opened up and flow out, and it's connected with the brain. Jesus said, Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's the reason I put at the cross, the time for you to do it is over. But you know, that's what I searched for the first 30 years of my life. I thought I was to do the best I could. And then I learned that he wanted to live in me and through me and be my life through intimate moment of fellowship. And I'm learning more and more all the time. And each time he gives me a new revelation, it thrills my heart. And so, again, he's knocking on the door of our hearts. And he's saying in John 7:38, He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart, some translation says out of his belly, some of them says out of his inner being, will flow rivers of living water. I believe you're here because you want to say yes. Yes. Come in. Flow through me. Flow through me. Be the forgiver. Now, I have taught in the past that forgiveness is a choice. And it is. But God has helped me to understand a little bit deeper that it's not just a choice. It's allowing Him, the forgiver, to forgive through me. And I've tried to, the best way I know to try to illustrate it is an illustration I've used before by Corrie Ten Boom. You know, she and her whole family rescued the Jews during the Holocaust. And right at the end, they got discovered and put in prison camps themselves. And she and her sister Betsy were there, and they kind of encouraged and supported each other. And one particular guard, 2 weeks before Betsy died, beat them unmercifully. Betsy was very frail, and she died. Later, after the war was over and they were released, and Corrie Ten Boom was in the United States and was speaking and so forth, she was speaking at a conference. And at the close of the conference, she was inviting people to receive the love of God. And she looked at the back, and she saw that prison guard that had beat them unmercifully and had resulted in her sister's death. And all the anger and rage that she had rose up. And she saw him walking toward her to shake her hand. And she thought, oh God, I can't do this. I'd just like to kill him. And when he came near, he said, I've received Jesus as my Savior, and I have come to apologize for the evils I did towards you. Would you please forgive me? And he put his hand out. And during that moment, she thought, God, I can't. There's too much anger. And Jesus said, will you let me be the forgiver? Will you let me be the forgiver? Will you let me forgive through you? And she said, yes, Jesus, you do it. I can't. And he said, I never said you could. This is a life only I can live. So she shook his hand and forgiveness flowed. Mm. All of us have been wounded horribly by many things that we know and we don't know. But as those memories come up, as those pains come up, I would encourage you, as I am learning to do more succinctly, to say, Jesus, that was painful. He says, yes, it was. I am so sorry. I never wanted that to happen to you. But I allow you, the forgiver, to flow through me in a supernatural flow because I can't. You never said I could, but you can flow and forgive through me. So I release your forgiveness toward that one and that one and that one and that one. And when you're at that place, if a memory comes up, don't discount it. Don't suppress it. Don't deny it. Don't cram it. Say, Jesus, thank you that you're not limited to time and space. You are the I am. I invite you into this memory. I didn't know how to handle it when it happened, but you're the healer here. Forgive through me. Forgive through me. He says, that's what I came to do. That's who I am. I'm the only one that can do that. Forgiveness removes the highway on which evil travels.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That is.
So, do you want evil traveling around in you and through you and among you? No. Then release the forgiver to flow through you, and forgiveness removes the highway on which evil travels.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And you said, but you don't know some of the people I deal with, and you don't know the circumstances, and you're absolutely right. This has helped me. Do you know what the biggest diamond is in the whole world that is a cut diamond? It's called the Golden Jubilee Diamond, and it's 545.6 carats. And if it were to be sold, it's valued at $4 to $12 million. Let's say that you had a piece of crystal that was this on your desk, and you didn't pay too much attention to it. You used it as a paperweight, and you moved it here and there and around, but you didn't pay too much attention to it. And one day you discovered you had the Golden Jubilee Diamond. That was the most valuable thing in the whole world as far as diamonds go. Well, I want you to know that you're His diamond that He gave His life for. He left the glories of heaven, was born, and we celebrate it this time of the year into this realm to be human as we are forever, because He knows the diamond you are, and you are His handiwork, and He says you are irreplaceable. So if you have a hard time embracing who you are, think of yourself as the diamond He gave His life for. If you have a hard time releasing forgiveness to someone else, realize that He gave His life for them too. And they are a diamond or a potential diamond if they will say yes. Now, does forgiveness mean that you put yourself back in harm's way and condone evil? No, doesn't mean that at all. But it means that you have the mind of God concerning it. So, as you think of you being a diamond, raise your hands to Him and surrender. Say, wash me, whichever way you want to. Release your forgiveness through me. I know I've got a lot of gunk on me, but I will allow you to use the people in my life that I would just as soon you didn't, to expose my gunk, the miry clay that's caked on there, because you're God and I'm not. And I surrender in your hands for the flow of living water to flow. And knowing that He, the forgiver, wants you to forgive yourself or the person that has abused you or God. You say, but how could I be mad at God? Yeah, we initially are. Say, he's God. Why'd He let this happen? Yeah. Well, He's never the source of evil. It was people's choice to choose to not walk with Him that caused the evil. And so say, God, I want Your forgiveness to flow through me in a new way that will keep you smiling forever. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, every abuse you've had, every shame you've experienced, every guilt you've processed, He said, I became it. And I endured it, knowing the joy I would have when You let Me, the forgiver, flow through you. So let's give Him joy. Let's let His joy be a reality. Because He says, remember, anything I say in Scripture, I say it not so you can do it, but that I am it. Let Me be it through you. Because I'm the only one has life. I love this picture. It's a picture painted by Robert Bartow. And he's entitled it, The River of Gold. And I've chosen to use the scripture under it, John 7:38 again. For out of the innermost being springs and rivers of living water shall flow continuously. You and I are designed to be a river of gold moving upon this earth to let the life and the light and the water of God that is healing to flow so that His birth, celebrated this time of the year, brings the resurrection of what He provided and the authority to pierce the darkness and to release supernatural life. And I'm glad to be walking this way with each one of you. As Gary goes to Louisville, Kentucky every night, he is the river of gold flowing up those highways. As he praises and worships God, he's splattering water all over the place. And each one of us, when you're in your workplace, wherever it is, as you stay in the center of the flow of the tsunami wave of glory that's being released, as you stay in his presence may be just the thing that disperses, brings down the strongholds, and they don't even know what's going on. Or he may say, tell them this, or tell them that. And you don't have to say, God said. You can just say, did you realize God really loves you? And I'm glad to be working with you. Or whatever he tells you. So, as we continue this kingdom flow, let me pray for you that your spirit will be strengthened, that your soul will settle down and submit to the Spirit, and that God will position each one of us in the center of His flow so that we will not wipe out, but we will live the life of the Forgiver flowing through us, healing us and others. Father God, we thank You that Your plan is absolutely perfect. And we thank You, Jesus, for Your complete and total provision on the cross. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're living within us right now, bringing forth the kingdom of God and helping us to know Father's plan and Jesus' provision. Now I speak to Your spirit in the name of Jesus, and I say, Spirit, be strengthened. Today, have new hope because God has a future for you, and it's absolutely wonderful. He wants to take every horrible thing that has happened and turn it for good. So, Spirit, fix your eyes upon the Father. Look full into His marvelous face and receive your download today. Because He says He will give us the portion we need for today. So, Father, I say, let the download be released in our spirits right now. And I say, soul, You've done a wonderful job. You've kept us together and You've survived when the Spirit wasn't in leadership and You didn't even know to submit. But I speak to you, soul, and say, relax now. Enter God's rest. Commit your will to Father's will, your mind to the mind of Christ, and your emotions to the Holy Spirit for healing and proper alignment. And I loose from you the strongholds that had driven you in a wrong way by the blood of the Lamb. And I say, body, thank you for being the temple of the Most High God. And we speak healing to you. You have been ravished because you've had to handle more stress than you were designed to handle. And as a result, there's memories stored there. And there's cellular decay. And there's neural pathways that have been stopped up and wounded. I speak to your body in the name of Jesus, and I say, let those memories be healed. Let the neural pathways be opened. Let there be health to your sinews and your organs and your blood. Let the blood of the Lamb flow through and bring healing. By His stripes we are healed. And we thank You for what You're doing in our life. And we say, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. And we commit to Your control, not our control or others' control, but by the control of the Spirit, remaining in Your joy and Your peace. And I say blessings in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, if anyone would like for us to pray for you, the leaders will be over here, and we will be delighted to pray for you as God shows anything that we can join you in agreement. So the leaders will come over here. Kyle, if you'll put on some music. Those of you that are full, feel free to go and do whatever God has you to. Remember the Lord's table. If you have not partaken of the Lord's table, it's here as every Sunday for you to go as you feel led. The little gold bowls at the back and front are here that you can worship God with your finances. And remember, if you want to contribute to the Benevolent Fund, Chuck has taken on basically doing the benevolence with the needy. And if you want to make a special offering to that, it will be routed to him, and he will use it as God directs. And so, once again, thanks for being here, and see you soon.